Okay, this is a session with Nelson, record on June 30th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:20 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Hey, Ion, how's everything?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it if we told you.
Well, you know what, I probably would.
There you go, there you go. That's a little warmer and fuzzier than it was, huh?
Well, I re-listened to the last session. And
homework. Fabulous. That'll do you well.
The last two sessions.
Good.
And the last session was awesome, re-listening to it.
Yes. Well, you can taste it. It's kind of like you can smell the cookies in the oven, and now you're ready to start eating some.
Well, a couple things that I was noticing. First of all, listening back to myself is interesting because it really allows you to understand your weaknesses in conversation. And a lot
well,
of times...
Well, now, don't call it that. Don't call it a weakness in conversation.
Wait,
you own something. Where you have it decided, and you're trying to make our words fit your preconceived notion. That's not a weakness. That's just being directive. That's not so bad, you see. Because here go, Nelson. See, we want this to be your creation. And it's interesting, you hear your words and kind of like, well, how ridiculous. I mean, you get where you are and where you want to be because you now have much more clearly defined the desire. And some of this is you catching up with your desire, and the rest of this is you allowing that desire to come to you. Remember back in the old McLuhan days, you don't wear your clothes wear you. You don't figure out triangulation. Triangulation is actually desperately trying to figure out you.
Well, so far as it figured me out?
Well, it's right there ready for you. It is. It is. It is. It is. It is. I mean, it's like vanilla. It's like cinnamon. You can't get past it. It's like cooking of bacon. It'll find you anywhere.
Some of the analogies are great.
Yes. Well, escape the smell of cooking bacon. We defy you.
I know. It's impossible.
You can't. You just can't. I mean, you just can't. It makes no difference where you are. It will find you.
Well, I'm going over. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to go through an equation today.
Good.
But,
why don't you go through it this way, if you want. Go through and get the high points of where you were pushing through before, and even JW when it downloaded for him, it's so simple. So maybe we're making it hard because it is so simple. Even JW says,
"Hello."
He's blipped out. Okay, Ion. JW says nothing. Okay, we missed it. So what did JW say? Even JW says, and we heard nothing.
When it downloads, even JW to JW, his statement to Bob was, remind Nelson to make sure and go over his session and do his homework so that he's got it clear, the places that he's trying to finish enhancing, so that the light bulb will come on. That's how he downloaded it. Was like, juice is going, light bulb's in good, it's screwed in tight, everything's ready. Now we're just wanting to flip the switch and then let there be light.
Well, what I'm going to do is I think that I'm going to, last session you did a great run-through of basically the whole damn thing, okay?
Yes.
And I'm going to go through... let me just go through my some of my notes.
Good.
And I want to go through basically everything that I've got and I know is right. And then I want to talk to you about the key for this, the part of this the part of this process that is unlike any mathematical or any process that I've ever done or seen is when you have to now do the overlay.
And describe you overlay.
When you take the waves and you overlay them on the triangle.
Okay, then don't say it that way. Say it this way. You are transposing or representing dimensional wavelengths on a flat geometric plane or piece of paper.
Okay.
That's what you're doing, and that's why that's different. It can easily be done, but that's where it's all odd, what you're saying,
yes.
Odd.
Yes.
Yes.
And you said something last session that was very interesting, and I didn't really hear it.
Yes.
Well, not hear it, but I didn't pay attention to it during
right.
the session, which was you talked about how something in it of itself is incredible, which is basically using the triangle as a field and looking at where intersection points land within a given field was incredible
mm-hmm.
in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it changes the parameter. Well, it changes the covalence of the perspective, because that's what you're trying to gain. We could say there is no future, Nelson. There's not. There's only a big now. So to have a formulation that will tell you something that is now, that's called a thermometer. A thermometer, you look at it, and all it does is tell you what the temperature is now. But now there are many predicates on what can affect the thermometer, right?
Right.
See, so, but you don't count that. A thermometer, and now, so if you could look at the thermometer and tell you what the temperature is going to be next week, it can. As long as the playing field or the things that affect what you call temperature is notable, and we say it certainly is.
Now, one question I have about that.
Did you get that? That was a mouthful, too.
Basically, what you're saying is See, that's the type of thing that.
Yeah, I know. But it's so simple. So let's say it again. Okay. Okay. Let's do it this way, because this is. We want you to get this, because this will affect your outcome.
Okay.
Describe a thermometer. If you have a thermometer. Describe what you think a thermometer does.
It, as temperature increases, the liquid inside expands in terms of an analog thermometer. But a thermometer measures the temperature of wherever it's at or wherever its receiver's at. That's what I would describe.
So it gauges at a millibar level. Increase or decrease of ambient temperature?
Yes.
Okay. And so that's straightforward and simple enough, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you don't even really have to know how a thermometer works other than to trust and know that it is. For example,
yep.
if it says it's 150 degrees centigrade and you go outside and you start sweating, that's logical. But if it said 50 degrees centigrade and you went outside and frost started collecting on your body, you'd think something was terribly afoot, wouldn't you?
Yep.
See, so you gauge those proximities. But you know or you feel comfortable if your thermometer is appropriate to trust that thermometer to do your gauging. Right?
Yep.
Same thing here. Now, describe something that can affect temperature. Now, we're not talking about past, present, future. We're talking about just your knowing of a thermometer. What are some outside forces that can affect temperature?
Wind.
wind, that's correct. It can be warmer, and a cool wind can lower an ambient temperature. Good. Anything else?
Pressure? Barometric pressure?
Barometric pressure, absolutely. Anything else?
Sun?
Well, but that's your heat source,
you see. Day or night,
like
if the sun's out?
Well, yes, but that's what it's gauging and registering.
That's
but,
what it's
but
gauging
that's
originally.
All right. How about humidity?
Oh, yeah, and humidity.
See, humidity, that's kind of vast because even in your warming, like your heating systems, if you can raise the relative humidity, say, in your house, and it's cold outside, if you can raise the relative humidity, you don't have to keep it as warm in your house for it to feel comfortable.
Okay.
See,
yep.
Because what humidity does is it affects how you gauge what temperature it is as far as a comfort level or not.
Uh-huh.
Just like in heating, if your house is well insulated, then you don't have to apply as much heat to keep the temperature at a more constant degree, like, say, a thermostat.
Yep.
Okay, so now even temperature is a pretty vast, complicated thing if you get right down to it, if you wanted to make it specific. So it's not odd that it could become a little indifferent in what we're working on right here, right now. But if you could divide each individual portion or part of the program, now you also can come to a conclusion of the reason that it's hot or the reason that it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, you almost could affect the temperature.
Wow.
By your effect, you could turn the thermostat up, apply more heat, keep the doors and windows closed. You could capture that heat and concentrate it. So you could make temperature go up or down based on your understanding of how a thermometer works and your own thermometer, which is what you gauge for whether or not you're comfortable or not. Now, that gets euphoric because if you could apply that particular knowing to what we're talking about here, it would simplify it irrevocably because it would streamline some of your questions that seem a bit odd to us.
To you?
They're not odd to you, but they're odd to us. So that's where you're getting this together. But the foundations you have, no problem. But now we're talking about applying what affects price shifts or difference.
Yes.
Okay, price go up, temperature go up. Price go down, temperature go down. Stock market go up, stock market go down. Well, if you know the gauge from its perspective, also altitude affects temperature because the thinner the air, the cooler it feels.
Yep.
Okay, so there you go. But that would fall under your barometric pressure that you had described already. Good, like a cold front or a warm front. Same thing here. So basically, in the simplest form, and we won't beat this to death, we're just trying to lay it out so you'll have a warm fuzzy about this process, which you're doing well. If you could apply this formula or formulation likened to a good thermometer that just has the ability to calculate a future temperature, that'd be cool. They call that a forecast. Based on the models that are, they can tell you what the temperature's going to be next week. And that's not even odd to you, is it?
No, like I can imagine that, yeah, that meteorologists do that. But not
as things are floating through here. You know, maybe it's not to the half percent. They can pretty well gauge it based on good information. Well, that's all we're talking about here as well. Once you are able to factor or calculate your shift of horizon, then it's no problem. A future is the same as watching a stock price being from active orders being calculated of exactly what orders affect the price to go up or down. Longs and shorts to calculate, computer trading. All those things come into play for the right now calculating, asking, liking, and taking price, supply, demand. All those different coefficients are applicable, you see. So if that becomes the case, then all you're doing is that exact same thing, only from not set in this now or a bigger now, that it can allow you to know that what you call future price.
One question I have from last session is regarding, okay, first of all, I've got a couple questions about how to plot the triangle, what type of graph you use, and should I be using a graph with like the X, the four quadrants, or should I just be using a graph that has X and Y and be graphing the triangle on the top right quadrant?
It makes no difference. It makes no difference. Whatever you prefer. Some people, if you're trying to see it, okay, once you see it, no problem. You won't need paper and pencil at all. You won't require it.
Okay.
Now that sounds ridiculous, but see, like playing with JW, he knew that the light sweet crude was going to bounce in the $94-$95 when it was $120. He knew.
But I mean, that's fine that he knows because.
But now that's only because it's like tying your shoe. Do you have to look at your shoestrings to tie your shoe? Not after you do it a while. No, you just do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm
same way here for you, and it'll become that simple. It becomes by rote.
Well, yeah, that would be great, but not this second. I got to work through the formula.
All you got to do is see. All you got to do is like riding a bike. All you got to do is once. Once you get it, then you go, well, this is how I did that. So if this is how I did that, this is how I do that. Well, if this is how I do that, this is how that's done. Well, if it's done, then there's no question anymore.
For the, you talked about how I lay out my, like how I lay out my points on the actual graph so they're accurate.
Yes.
And that's one thing I want to clarify, because right now, in terms of the actual blocks and how many blocks I go over, you're saying to take, let's say I have A is 50 and B and C is 80.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I put C 8 blocks over, and then each block would be 10, correct?
Yes, correct.
I would put A 5 blocks up under that scenario.
That's exactly correct. Very good.
But how do I do it when, let's say, A were 55 and I couldn't get a half a block exactly, or let's say A is 50.5? How do I account for those
okay, then we'd say the easiest way to do that would move your decimal point over, and instead of being 50, make it 550 or 505 or 550, and move your 80 to 800, and then you could make each block. Do you see how you could work that? Then
yes,
your
but
ratio can
like,
still stay
even
the
if
same.
You don't have that many blocks.
Well, you can make
like,
it be
I don't
as
have many. That
many. You
blocks
can make
to work with.
Nelson, you just moved 80 blocks into 8 sections.
Okay, so you're saying find a number that is divisible by the same amount and make that your box.
Right, and see, once you get, you won't have to actually, you know, take a room-sized piece of graph paper to count 10,453 blocks, but because you can make each block be 1,000, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So just work your perspective. It's your ratio, that's not right, your ratio. You can convert your ratio. It's no problem. You can do it on your computer screen, and you can take it down to where you can have 10 million blocks on a computer screen. You can set the ratio of your graph on your computer to 10,000. And it'll even count the 10,000 for you.
Do you know of a software that is useful for graphing like this on the computer?
We don't suggest any.
We don't suggest
which graphing calculator is accurate.
Okay. Well, that's what one thing that I realized was, especially when it came to the last session, I was too hung up on the actual math and not focused enough on the actual
ciphering.
Drawing. Yeah. So mm-hmm. another thing is with the waves, what I'm going to do right now, and tell me if this is the correct way.
All right.
Is find the circumcenter of the triangle, so the center of the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then create circles that are centered on A, B, and C that
Good.
All intersect with that center point. And then utilize those diameters as my amplitude for the waves.
Perfect. Very good. And that's the easiest way. That's the easiest way.
Now, that's the correct, that's a good way to determine your amplitude.
That's a very easy, simple, processable way to do that. Because, see, you're plotting the wave based on a different sized circle. And see, that's why it's so important to be
you're
absolutely
setting it
precise.
Up to work.
It's very important to be precise how you graph it, because that'll give you your pinpoints of the different size circles based on the graph. And you know you're correct if each one of those circles intersects at one point inside the triangle.
Well, they will, because that's how you sort of set it up to.
Certainly, but yet there'd be different sized circles.
Yes, all three would be different. The amplitude of A would be
mm-hmm.
different than the, and what would be great is, see, that's why before in a previous reading, you wondered
why. They were all
why.
The same amplitudes no matter what you did.
Yeah, and also why the troughs and the peaks weren't landing properly.
Correct.
Because the whole thing is when you do the overlay, you've actually got to set it up to kind of work. But not set it up to work, but basically construct the proper ratio to then plot the sine waves on top of the triangle.
Lay it out. so that your different vibrational frequencies have the opportunity to correlate with your triangulated positions. Very good.
Now, I'm watching a video on YouTube to find the circumcenter of a triangle. Now circumcenter is the center, correct?
Yep, and correct.
And this is, you can do this with, does the circumcenter of the triangle always land inside the triangle?
It must.
Okay, so when you
Now we're talking
this,
about the intersection of the outermost point. You see, it would be the outermost point. You have to be careful there because you could make a circle. You could pick any point inside the triangle and make it work to those circles. Remember?
Yes.
See, we're not saying that. We're saying to measure the length of your AB line segment, your AC, and your BC, and get in the center of those line segments.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so
and when you
can do that with that. Yeah, right now I'm doing that with, what's it called? You know, it's like a little angle device. It's in a protractor set. It's a little angle device.
Yeah, it's a compass.
Device. Yeah, is that called a compass?
Uh-huh, that's a compass.
And what you do is you put it on each one of the corners, and you just spin it, and you draw a line between where the two intersect, the two semicircles intersect.
Yes.
And that leads you to your center point. But the problem is, you know what? See, you got to make sure, is there any, you've got to make sure that your compass is spread out at least more than half of the side length.
Exactly.
Correct?
Correct. But you want to find your center point that you're making this all intersect to. And how
yes,
you're doing
exactly.
that is you divide the equally divide the line segments and extend those line segments. And where those lines intersect, your rhombic side of your diagram, then you make each circle intersect that center point.
Yes, like as I do it now, it's crazy that you can see what I'm doing on my page, but whatever. As I do it now.
We also saw the three you threw away, too.
Yeah. There's three on the page that are scrapped.
Right. Yeah, it's cool.
So if I do these two, and then I've got to go over to this point, and I've got to make sure it's at least more than half of the sides that
I'm doing. Well, wait. Now, slow down. You're all right now. But now, look. You got three line segments. They are a certain length. Figure that length and find out the exact inner middle of that. Make a little hash mark on your triangle sides. Okay? Exactly
yeah.
in half. Now, from each triangle, or each line within your, each line segment within your triangle, will now have a little hash mark.
Okay,
now,
so
extend those toward the center. Extend those line half marks to the middle of the triangle. And the pinpoint center where they intersect, make sure all of your circles intersect at that point. And that's all you got to do.
Okay, so right now, the one that's diagonal is the sort of the trickiest one to figure out the center. But, okay, so I've got that.
What are you talking about? You take the thing, you take the crazy thing,
yeah, no,
and
I
the
know,
diagonal
right.
the diagonal line, move it flat and measure half and make a half mark. Extend that half mark in a straight line to the middle of the triangle, and where those three points intersect, make sure each circle that you draw from your ABC points intersect exactly on that dot.
So
that's
when you
all.
Say intersect, you mean if
okay,
I draw...
Okay, you know your compass. You got a pencil on one end, and you got a little sharp pinpoint thing on another.
Yes.
Okay. On A, you put the Sharpie point on A.
Yes.
You open up your compass
yep.
to make it go to that center point of the triangle. And you draw a great big circle. That's one. Then you take the Sharpie point and you move to B. Put the Sharpie point on B and the pencil on that center point. And you draw a great big circle right there. So now the A circle lands on that dot. The B circle obviously will land on that dot. Now you do the same thing for C.
Okay, now one second. Just back up to find the center point.
Okay.
You
have three line segments. You have three line segments. Correct?
Yes.
You can measure the length of those line segments, can you not?
Yes.
You find the exact halfway mark.
Yep.
And go dot or a little hash mark
yep.
on your triangle.
Yep.
Then you make them 90 degrees, make square lines off your triangle toward the center.
Okay.
You know how to do that. You know, make
yep.
a straight line, make it
yep.
perpendicular to the line segment that you're moving to the center.
Yep.
And you'll intersect at a specific point. That's the point you're looking for.
Okay, so these are straight. So, like, for example, this triangle that I'm doing right now,
mm-hmm.
if you extend this straight across, it actually intersects C. I mean the middle of C. Like, is
no.
this correct, what I
no,
just drew?
No, no, it wouldn't intersect the middle of C. You're trying to find, you don't, you're just making the lines go toward the center of the flat triangle that you've drawn. And so it wouldn't intersect. It would if you continued it on forever, but you're just trying to get it to the point in the middle where all three points intersect, in the middle of the triangle.
Yeah, exactly. So
it wouldn't intersect the angle of C.
I'm just going to try this again. So I'm going to do a triangle that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 blocks high, 4 blocks wide, and then C connects, obviously, the 6 to the 4. Okay, so you see that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the center of the AB line is 3 up, so the center of this is right there.
So make a little hash mark.
Okay.
Okay, now do the next line segment.
Okay, the center of the bottom one is 2, so right there.
Okay. So make a little hash mark.
And then the center of this one, it's 45 millimeters long, so the center is right here.
So that'd be 22 and a half.
22 and a half.
And that's fine, because you're just doing a measurement.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you got your three little hash marks. You know,
yes.
Click, click, click. Now, take and make, and you can do this, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to get a big thing. Just make sure that you're perpendicular, you know, that you're at 90-degree angles. But you can do that just with a square. You know what I'm saying? With just a little,
yeah, yeah, 90
a little
degree
T.
Angle to...
Okay. Now, you take your T, and you... get it lined up, and then you extend that little hash from that little hash mark, and you go toward the middle of the triangle. Just go a little, you don't have to go all the way through it, just go toward the middle.
But at a 90-degree angle to the side it's on.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And when you extend each of those lines to the point where they have a dot, then that's the center. Then you know how to set your compass to draw to set your amplitude.
Okay, but like if you take a look at this here, the 90 degree to the dot that's on the C line segment comes into the center of the triangle like this, correct?
C line segment, you mean AC or BC?
AC, AC.
Good. Then from AC, yeah.
90 degrees is like there.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, but when I bring up the line that's on BC, that uh-huh. line goes directly vertically, correct?
It would. It
line?
Certainly would.
Or
it'll still
okay.
intersect your AC dot, though.
Yeah,
or
like
your extended line. And those that center point is all you're trying to calculate.
Oh, or do you take these dots and draw them directly to the opposite angle?
No, no, no. You just draw... Okay, 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 okay.
I just don't know how this looks right. Like, if I just draw...
Now, wait, now, don't you... Look. Okay. Just like if you had Legos and you were putting together a pyramid.
Yes.
Okay? You'd try to make them square. Okay, and you'd square it off, and if you took a pyramid and sawed it in half, you'd have two triangles. Correct?
Yes.
But now let's simplify this again. That's basically what you're looking down from an airplane, down on a pyramid. There's that center point in the middle of it. Okay?
Yes.
And all you're doing is you're taking those three line segments, and you're halving the distance, the linear distance, of each of those A, C, B, C, A, B line segments,
yep.
and you're halving them, okay? And when you half them, if you draw a line to the center of the triangle that's perpendicular to the A, to those three line segments, they will intersect at one spot inside the triangle. That's all you're doing.
Okay, but I get it, but it's not okay.
Like
if you go perpendicular to each side, like if you look
yeah.
at the, if you go perpendicular to each side,
you got AB. Half
yes.
of AB was that 2?
Yes.
Okay. You got a mark right there.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Right here.
If you draw a line from the center or at 2, and it's perpendicular to your AB line segment, you draw it straight to about what you would think is the middle of the triangle.
Yep.
And you just have that one little line hanging. No problem.
Yes.
Now, you take BC and you do the same thing, wherever half is, and you extend that toward the middle, and you'll notice that it bumps into that first line that you've made. Okay?
Yeah, it bumps into...
It'll intersect that perpendicular line that you just drew from AB.
Yes, it bumps into it at the midpoint of C.
Fine. And then you do the same thing at C and find where it intersects.
So is this the middle of this triangle right here?
Yes. And then you can take that center point, and the only reason that you're doing that is so that you can get your different amplitudes of your wave heights.
Okay, so then I take the A and place the pencil on that dot.
Uh-huh.
And draw it from A and make a circle, and you go to B, and then draw that circle, and then you go C, and you make that circle. Then you measure those circles, and that'll set your amplitude.
Okay, very smart. That's awesome.
And it's it's a little extra step thingy thing to do, but that's the way you can see how the shift and change in your amplitude is, and you can check that, you see, because they all come to that point.
So, like that, what I've got drawn now.
See, and you can do that regardless of the size of the triangle or the shape of the triangle. Makes no difference.
It's quite a beautiful process.
It is indeed. It's the same thing. Now, if you notice, if you keep building, you're going to finally draw what, if you look up what a fractal antenna is.
Yeah.
If you keep this up, when you get it all together, you're basically going to lay out a fractal antenna. Now, that has far-reaching applications, Master Nelson.
Wow. Master.
If you could accurately draw a fractal just by sitting down with a protractor and a compass and a pencil and a piece of paper, that's too cool for school.
So this is now the amplitude of the waves is like this. Oh, wait, I screwed that one up.
No, well.
I got to go down farther.
That's right.
Is like this.
So now your sine cosine waves of the angled value is set within the amplitude, or that's the size of paper toilet paper roller. That's the size toilet paper roller that the sine cosine angle is spinning from.
Yes, exactly.
And that spins up off the page. But then you're going to take those values and lay them flat and represent them on the page, and now you're on it.
So take a look at what I've got drawn there. That's what it's like.
Exactly. And be very accurate now. That's a little sloppy. It's a little sloppy.
Quick purposes.
Well, but see, we don't want to get you good at horseshoes and hand grenades. We won't get it exact. So you say, is it like that? And we say, yes, except for it's a hair bit sloppy.
Okay,
so,
when you're talking about sloppy, you're specifically speaking about the waves, pretty much.
Yeah, not accurately laid out. Yes.
Yeah, this isn't accurate.
Okay. that's a working definition of sloppy. But you'll clean that up, baby.
Oh,
that's
no,
what
I
we're
mean,
saying.
Like, the sloppiest part of what's on my page right now is the waves.
Yes, that's right. But you can perfect that because, see, now that you have your amplitude, you can very precisely graph those wavelengths.
Okay. Well, what I've been trading pretty much intra-week, like four-hour trades and based off of day stuff. So most of the calculations are going to apply to probably a couple days.
Fine.
Ultimately, it doesn't really matter.
Well, and now you'll find, here's the thing that you want to consider. We hear what you're saying. Here's what we say consider. Consider the your niche of how you like to get in. You get into a like a flow of how you like to look at it.
Yep.
And then you kind of look at it from that way. Just like you watch your screens and they're doing crazy things, and then you sort of get into that modality of this is what where I'm noticing. So work within that parameter. It'll just make you a superstar rather than a star.
Sorry, one sec. I just got to cancel.
No, you're fine.
What's the difference between the in-center and the circum-center?
We don't know in-center.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that
if you dissect, wait, if you dissect a triangle.
Yeah.
See, we could go around the long way around the mountain and say, take a triangle and create triangles and then divide those triangles and then divide those triangles and then divide those triangles so that the same number of blocks would be in any size shape of three sides of a triangle or the rhombic aspect of a triangle, and you can check your work. But that's the long way around the mountain, when all you have to do is accurately divide the line segments, and where they intersect would be your top of the pyramid or half of that pyramid, you see.
Yes. So let's try one. Does this change with, like, a right angle, or does it change with different types of triangles, the center, how to find the center?
No.
Okay, so, like, for example, this type of triangle, if I go...
You just have three line segments that are easy. The only time it won't work is if you have a line segment that's not divisible by itself.
Okay.
And that
so
won't
like
happen,
If I find the rough center for now, the rough centers of these... And I go perpendicular away from those, it's going to look like this, which would mean that this point right here is the center where they all intersect perpendicular away from themselves. Rough,
yeah, but don't overthink that. Get it just real simple. You got three.
But
if
that's
you had,
not the center of this triangle.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't. No, wait now. Let's say you were doing, do you know 2x4s? Like
yes.
Pine studs 2x4s?
Yes.
If you took 2x4s and you divided it exactly in half, okay, or found the middle, and then you put a stick straight up, just like the stud of a wall.
Yep.
Halfway, even if you have three different lengths of board line segments, and
mm-hmm.
you put them flat on a flat surface, and you would lean them to kind of like a teepee,
mm-hmm.
that's the point where no matter what length the individual bottom boards are, as long as you're exactly at half, wherever they touch together, that's your center. See, you're not giving gauge for your increase or your height, but it doesn't. So if you did the volume, because you're saying that your point you found is not in the center, and we go, well, if you do the volume of that from them leaning in, as long as they're still at a 90-degree angle of where they tip,
yep.
it will. The volume it will be that accurate center.
Okay, so the center of a triangle that... Like, the center of an equilateral triangle is the dead center.
It is.
Like, I know that
but
sounds
you're
funny.
You're not
but
always going to have an equilateral triangle.
No, exactly. But, like, the center of this triangle that I'm drawing right now is right there.
Mm-hmm.
But how come when I do, like, it seems like these centers are a bit... What I'm looking for is the center of the triangle, so the circumcenter. Like when people say circumcenter,
well,
that's what I'm looking for. Is that correct?
Not necessarily, because the circumcenter that you're trying to – you don't care about the circumcenter of the triangle. Don't make it be about that. You're trying to find exactly halfway. You're trying to find exactly halfway between – exactly
yes.
halfway between – the actual line segment itself.
okay, so this may not be the dead center of the triangle, but this is how to do it for the actual equation.
Exactly. Because if you have those marks and you extend them at whatever point it intersects, that's your center. And then you take and you draw your circle from there, and it'll meet, and then you take your circle from there, and it'll meet, and then you take your circle from there, and that'll meet.
It starts to look like the radiation.
Remember the radiation warning placard?
Yes.
It starts to look like that.
Okay, so let me just, 55, half of 55 is 20, 22 and a half.
Now, and you got to be very, you want to be exact now, you know that. So we don't care. You're just doing your doodles here. But when you actually start applying it, it must be exact, you see. But that's not a problem because we've said that about 16 million times. But for the rough sketch that you're doing here, that's fine.
So take a look at this one, okay?
Okay.
So this I am doing now. Just get this angle right. This is now. So that's 90 degrees to that one. This is 90 degrees to this one. Just
want
to get
Nelson, you know something else that may help you? When you're drawing your 90 degrees off of each line segment, it might be easier, like you have it set up, have your paper where you can turn it and then go straight up and then turn your paper and then go straight up and then turn your paper and go straight up. That may help you see it more from a perspective of dividing the line and not trying to hook it up in the triangle. That may serve.
Okay.
That may serve you.
The way that you're saying to do it, this would be they all intersect. Let me just see. They all intersect at a point outside the triangle. Like, look
Nelson,
at this. So now that's perpendicular
Nelson,
to this.
It's impossible. It can't. If
but
you
if
have
they're
three,
all right angle, it is. See, are you sure?
Well,
that
if
you
they're
don't
all right. Well, now, wait a second. Right angled triangle or right angle from where you're making your hash mark?
Right angle from where I'm making the hash mark.
Well, if you go halfway, halfway, and halfway, it would, and you extend that line, and you extend that line, and you extend that line.
Yeah, look, like
wherever
right, let's look at right.
It would have
right
to intersect
here.
Inside the triangle. It would have to intersect inside the triangle, regardless of how you drew it.
Well, it depends what triangle, like an equilateral triangle.
It does not. If you take three line segments and you divide it, and you divide, if the dots of the triangle are connecting, if you have three halves, and you extend the half. Now, we don't care where inside the triangle it intersects, but it would intersect, and it could be on the hypotenuse or very close to it, but it wouldn't make any difference. That's still going to be your point that your circles would be your amplitude would be gauged by.
Okay.
But that's the exception. That's certainly not the rule.
What do you mean by that?
The exception is sometimes it would be very, very close maybe to the hypotenuse. If you had a real queer setup price triangle, you know, your pairs were queer numbers. So it's the exception, not the rule.
So let me draw something, and I'm wondering if this is correct, okay?
Okay.
If you take the halfway mark, and then you to draw a line to the opposite corner,
you're not
you
doing
the
that.
Half,
the opposite corner of what?
That
has nothing to do with the opposite corner.
Okay.
Can't. That's not going to. Then all your amplitudes are going to be the same again. See, you're juxtaposing.
No, I'm saying to try and find the center.
Don't worry about the center. You're not. The center is important, but it's more important of the intersection points of the half lines. Don't fret, don't freak over the center, because what we're saying is wherever that dot is, if you did it from a pyramid or took sticks and leaned them together, where they touch would be the center.
Yes. I'm drawing this all sorts of different ways, and I don't know exactly what you mean. I understand that it's simple and it sounds simple, but if I draw a triangle and then take the sides and divide them in half and draw perpendicular lines off of those sides towards the center of the triangle.
Well, okay, just now we say toward the center, we just mean toward the middle.
Yeah, towards the, like, to inside. You draw them towards the
correct.
Inside.
That's great. And see, you could draw them great big if you wanted to, but that's going to tangle you up. See, it's going to start looking like something funky. So we were just saying point them toward the middle, so when they intersect, and that point is where you draw your three circles from.
So, like, for example, this one intersects at the hypotenuse. Like, look at this one right here.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. That's not a problem.
Okay. Now, let me just draw another one. What happens if you get one that's like, here's two, and then one, two, three, four, and then this comes back. Oh, one second. And then
now, wait a minute now. So you got A is at four or A is at two?
A is at two.
Got it.
B is at zero.
Got it.
Yeah, B is at zero.
That's
and
fine.
And C is at negative two.
Okay.
Now,
that'll be the exception.
Yes, C isn't normally at negative two. So let me do it this way. B is at two, A is at four, C is at four on the x-axis. Cool.
Okay, so A is at four.
B is
B
at two.
B is at two.
C is
and
at four.
C is at four?
Yes.
Got it.
Okay, so halfway, if I take a hash mark and draw it halfway towards the middle of the triangle, 90 degrees from the side.
Okay, like, now wait. A to B, halfway, put a hash mark.
Okay.
Just the line segment.
Yes.
Okay. B to C, halfway, put a hash mark. Okay. A to C, halfway, put a hash mark. Okay, now, you got your individual line segments and you draw it up and up and up. Now, that particular point would indeed fall outside of the triangle. But that's okay because your circle comes from the point of A, then makes a circle, and B makes a circle, and C makes a circle. And all that does is that gives you your amplitude of your waves. Now you have the amplitude of the waves. Now you have the angle of A, B, and C, so you can plot your waves. No problem.
Okay, so you're saying that the point that I'm trying to find doesn't need to land in the triangle?
It doesn't have to. Doesn't have to. But we say more times than not that'll be the exception rather than the rule. But it will.
Okay.
It makes no difference because all you're doing is trying to find the size toilet paper ring that applies to the individual angles for your plotability of your amplitude.
Okay, so let me just try this one again. I just want to do another one.
The 4, 2, and 4?
This is now, let me just see this one. A is at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. B is at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 13, 6, and C is at, on the x-axis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So.
Okay.
I picked a stupid number, but it doesn't really matter. So, halfway between 6 and 13 is 3.5. Now, that line.
Say that again now. Halfway between 6 and 13.
Yeah, like B is 6. Halfway between A, B. B is 6. A is 13. Halfway
mm-hmm.
between 6 and 13 is 3.5. Right?
Nelson, you have one line segment is 6, so half of 6 is 3.
No. B lands on 6.
Got it.
AB line segment is 7 long. 7 blocks
long. So 3.5.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then, maybe I did this too big for my own good. But
that's all right. Because the bigger you are, your ratio perspective will just make it more accurate. So
that's what I figured.
You're right. And nobody hurt. It's fine. So all you're doing is dividing each of those three line segments.
Yeah. So this is this one's 11.5. Half of 11.5 is what? Half of 12 is 6. Half of 11.5 is 5.25.
Okay.
So that's there. And then
half of 11 is 5.5.
Half of 11.5.
Oh, half of 11.5.
Is
3/4.
5.75.
3/4. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But see, that 3/4 will fuck you up.
Yeah, that's
true. What we're talking about. You got to be, you see, that's what we're talking about, the exactness of that. But with your ruler, it's very simple. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll gauge it, but get it right on.
And then the last one is 9. So half a 9.
4.5.
Okay, so, wait 1 second, this one doesn't look right. Oh, no, I guess it is. Okay, just my eyes are playing tricks on me. Okay, so, if I take these 3 points, I need to put my ruler, or my protractor, and draw a line 90 degrees from these points.
Yes.
Correct? So, like,
straight
if
up.
You look at what I'm doing, I'm
make
overlaying
it 90 degrees from each line.
Yes. So let me put a point here.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I connect these 2 points like that, there's that one line. Okay? Is that correct? On this triangle line? And this is 90 degrees. That's where you mean by 90 degrees, right? Hello?
From the line segment that you've divided.
Yes, from the line segment that I've divided.
That's what has to be 90 degrees.
Yes, so this right here, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That
wherever intersection. Wherever your half mark is, that line should be 90 degrees from that line segment.
Okay, good. That's what I've done. Okay, now I need to do the next one. And now that is the 90-degree mark, so I need to draw a line there and figure out where that intersects with the other line. You see, this is another one that doesn't intersect in the triangle.
And that's all right. That's all right. Because all that's for is to set the amplitude of your sine, cosine, wave lengths from the angles.
Okay, and then here's this one. So basically what you're saying is they intersect right here.
Yes, which would be just to the outside on the hypotenuse, just outside the hypotenuse, right?
Yeah. Can you see? You can.
Yeah, that's the reason we said it's just outside on the opposite side of the hypotenuse.
Yes.
Now, Nelson, we say that's still the center, and here's why we say that. Here's the point. If you took that point and made that the tip top of a pyramid and then you looked at a pyramid from the sides, that top point, see, would be the middle if you were flying over it. Do you get that?
Okay.
Because that's why we say it's still the center. If you add that volume to it, it is still the center.
Mm-hmm.
Even though on your piece of paper it's graphing to the left or to the right of what you call the middle of the triangle. Because, see, you're adding volume of perspective. And this is not a big to-do. This is a simple to-do. All you're using it for is to tell your, like if you were doing a roof pitch and you were doing a 12-12, that's at a 45-degree angle.
Uh-huh.
Do you see? It's how steep the roof is.
Yeah.
And you'd say, how do I pitch the roof that are different sides to make it meet in the middle? Well, we'd say if you're square from where your middle is, you measure that, and where those come together is that middle of that pitch of that roof. Even if the sides are not the same length. You got that?
Yes. All three circles are the same size in this one.
They won't always be, but if they do, then your amplitude will be the same.
Okay, so if you look at this one, I don't have the circles completely drawn, but you see each circle, have it like each arc. They ended up, I didn't have to change the degrees of my compass.
Okay, then that's fine. That's fine. And many times, now, like the pairs that you've chosen, that you're plotting prices for, those pairs, many times, if they're in the same closeness proximity, they wouldn't be a huge difference. But if you start doing corn, oil, and gold, you may find them very different.
Uh-huh. So let me just think about other aspects of this that I'm not sure of. Is there anything else that you can recall that I was having trouble with?
You got it figured out finally how to plot C, that it's based on a value and not just some nebulous woo-woo. You got that cleaned up, that you have to plot C. Now, what you do have room to play with is where you set your B1A1 tangent. That's what you can adjust anywhere you want to, and then assign those blocks for a span, an equal span of time.
Okay, but when you say when I plot C, if C is 10, I go 10 over on the x-axis and plot C. But then I have to make sure that everything else is plotted relative to the block equaling 1.
If you do that way, yes, that's correct.
Okay, so I've got to make sure that everything is divisible by a specific number.
Well, say it this way. You got to make sure that all your ratios are the same.
Yes.
That's all.
Okay.
That's all. And we're saying since you can choose your second tangent anywhere you like, make it easy on yourself.
How does the tangent affect?
That's the period of time.
Oh, yes. So the triangle wouldn't have to be as big, is what you're saying.
Correct. Exactly. And it just makes the math easy for you. If you got if C is at 10, okay, and you want to work it on an hourly trade, okay, or a 4-hour trade or a 6-hour trade, if you're doing it on a 6-hour trade, do just count over 6 blocks and make that be your tangent. And then each block would equal an hour.
Yes. Wow. So I'm getting
pretty
close now.
And so we're saying, and then you could do the exact same calculation with days. Because if you notice your markets, if you really looked at your markets and put your historical data in that damn goofball trading thing you've got now, you'd see how many times. Let's take the price of gold.
Okay.
And you do a search of how often gold is that price. And you get a big enough span of time, you'll see a pattern, a cycle. You'll see a pattern over and over and over and over. Well, that's the same thing as a repeating vibration.
Yeah.
Let's change vibration to magnetic. It's an attraction thing going on.
Well, now, he'll affect magnetism. Nelson will affect magnetism.
That right, but magnetism, when you talk about a cycle repeating itself, it's kind of like stuck in a pattern, so you think something is sticking it. A magnet is a general metaphor for the sticking process.
Okay, Bob. Now, here we go. Now, Bob's got a point here. Nelson, do you know radio waves?
Yes. Well, I mean, as best as
well,
I
but,
know.
You know, they have a tower and they put out a wave. Okay.
Yes.
Now, frequency receivers typically have a magnet in it so it can attract and capture and lock onto a specific frequency. So the magnetism, you are the receiver of this information. So the magnitude, Bob, that you're talking about here would be Nelson. He's the receiver, just like a radio tuner, more times than not, has a magnet in it to separate those frequencies. So you're exactly right, Bob. So that the way...
Okay, Ian, hold it. So you're attracting it. Where is the law of attraction erroneous in that fact? Because they're saying they're correct.
No, they're not. The law of attraction can't separate one vibration from another. The law of attraction can't separate. You get good, you get bad. You get hot, you get cold. That means that you are whatever you attracted. You caught it in the butt. But if you want to have a different temperature, that's not the law of attraction.
That's the unlawful degree of magnetism.
Okay, right. Very good.
That's the real way to say the law. The unlawful degree.
The unlawful, because then there's
because
no,
that's
there's
based
no.
on the individual's magneticness.
Well, and see, that's the reason we said it, that Nelson is going to enjoy this much, much, much more if it's in a field or with pairs that he's very accustomed to working with anyway. See, because he's very close to those numbers. It's not new. You know, it doesn't flip him to commodities immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what he kind of.
Yeah, I'd rather
do it with Forex first, just because it's the most liquid market.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
anyway.
That is not one problem at all. Not a problem at all. Just because it's easy, because it's something you recognize. For example, a radio station that you're used to, you can tune to it, and you know that that's the normal kind of music that comes from that particular station, typically.
Yes.
And so that's familiar. So you'd go, what is this gobbledygook country crap music crap stuff? I don't want that. Well, then you recognize. Well, the law of attraction, Bob, would mean that that's all you can have is that. You attracted that, and that's all you can find. Well, that sucks. Because if you line up with something you don't want, you're stuck with it.
Well, and then all I need to do now is also figure out a really accurate way to get my Maybank rate.
Correct.
Now, what's the best suggestion of how to get that rate as accurately as possible?
We said call them.
Pardon?
Call them. Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to work on figuring out how to call them because they
well,
never.
There's offices there. You can call them and they'll give you somebody. And you can say hi.
His experience is they don't have anybody to answer, Ion.
Well, a bank that doesn't answer the phone's not doing much banking, and Maybank's the largest in the world, so somebody.
No. What is he missing about the phone? Do you have to be part of a registered broker or something to get your call accepted?
You have the time I'm calling.
Maybe.
It could be just I have to figure out exactly how to
Okay. Let's take it to your world. Send them a damn email. You're a potential customer. You're looking
That's
to do business with them and say, here's my time zone. Have someone contact me.